Good morning, Columbia Presbyterian Church, friends and family. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful, snowy Sunday morning in January. We're finally getting our first snowstorm in quite some time. And so I hope you're able to be with your families today, either enjoying it from the inside or playing outside. I'm glad that you were able to join us, and I hope you don't mind a little bit of making things up as I go this morning, having to record this from my home. And this morning, we are in God's Word together as we continue in this series, as we look at God's law, as we consider how and the ways He wants us to live. And this morning, we're looking at the third commandment, honoring the name of the Lord. Hear now God's Word as it is given to us in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 2 and verse 7. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day. Father, we thank you for the ways in which you continue to demonstrate to us your beauty and creativity, the ways in which you've given us the wonderful changing seasons that remind us of your creative power. Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning for the ways in which you have displayed your wonderful works. Father, we ask that you would be present with us now as we consider your word. Lord, I pray you would help me in a very different environment to spend this time in your word with your people in a way that gives you honor and praise, that helps all of us grow deeper in what it means to walk in discipleship with you, with the Lord Jesus. Thank you for meeting us. We pray for the work of your Spirit. And I ask you as always, O Lord, help the teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Kevin DeYoung, in his book on the Ten Commandments and considering the ways in which we can remember that the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, wasn't just meant for the Old Testament people of God, for Israel. It is a reflection of his eternal nature. It is a reflection of who he is. And it is God's purpose and God's desire that as we understand and enjoy his redemption and salvation, he has left us with the word to tell us how we ought to live. And in considering these things, Pastor Kevin DeYoung says in his book, in his reflections on the Ten Commandments regarding the third commandment, he says, if we're honest, though, when we come to the third commandment, we feel like we can let our guard down just a little. Watch what you say. Don't swear. Be careful with your OMGs. Got it. The third commandment feels less like a bedrock principle and more like a good reminder. I think he's right. I think in many ways we consider the third commandment and we have in our own minds, and either in our memory or perhaps in our present, the way in which we would define how we apply this very commandment. Does it simply call into question my speech and that I might question how I use the name of God, or is it much larger than that? As you might imagine, I would suggest that God's word clearly teaches us it is not just a good reminder. It is, in fact, a call and a reminder of the bedrock principle of the name of the Lord himself. So this morning, as we look at this together briefly, I want you to consider two questions. First, why is the name of the Lord so important? And secondly, what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? Why is the name of the Lord so important? And what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? So looking at that together, when God speaks through his servant Moses here in Exodus chapter 20. He is declaring, even as he states these things, why his name is so important. First, It is a declaration of who he is. Consider just what I've read already. And God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So we hear just in those words, he's saying, I am, meaning I am exalted, I am sovereign, I have providential power over all things. He's not one among many gods. He's not one to be compared to others who would vie for that moniker. He is. And then he also says that he's not only that he is God, he says, suggests that his very name speaks to who he is and what he has done. When he says, of course, I have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So to ask the question, why is the name of the Lord so important? It is to first establish, it says who he is. He is God. And it encompasses his entire being, not just a name, not just something that can be scribbled on a piece of paper or something uttered with our mouths. It is represents his very character and his being. We can take all of the attributes of God, every single one of them, all of his promises, all of his actions fit within the name. And so to speak the name, to act in the name, is to invoke all that he is. It's important for us to remember this, of course, because the scriptures itself testifies and declares this very truth. Consider Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So there again, the name refers to his character. Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. So we give God honor by offering him worship. Worship that is holy because he has told us who he is and how we are to approach him. Consider the words of Jesus as he instructs us how we ought to pray. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the very Son of God, who acted and did the work of the Lord, demonstrated not only his divinity, but demonstrated that he too bore the name, that the name of Jesus is the same thing as we consider the name God. We know this because of what we learn in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. Again, declaring who he is, but also what he has done. Consider the words of Paul when he declares in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there Paul makes the connection for us. It isn't just for the Old Testament people of God that they considered the name of Yahweh, but also his character, but also his servant and the way he's revealed himself in his Son, Jesus, who, as Paul declares, is Jesus Christ the Lord. And to acknowledge him as such and to utter him as such is to be to the glory of God the Father. So why is the name of the Lord so important? It is because it declares who he is. But also, as I've said, it also declares what he has done. He is the Lord of redemption, mercy, and grace. And by that name, he has done great things. And even as we understand the new covenant, the work of Jesus, that he was given the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name of the Lord is of utmost importance, because embedded in it is his character and his actions. And it is exactly what he has told us to do. He has told us, in just a small sampling of scriptures, why his name is so important. It is because he has said his name is important. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And so therefore, if this is why the name of the Lord is so important, then secondly, what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? Well, as a Presbyterian and confessional church, we have with us and for us our confessions, our creeds, our catechisms. Catechisms are the mechanism whereby we use question and answer to teach the nature of who God is and his word and theology. We have for us the Westminster Larger Catechism, which is one of the catechisms of our church. And in teaching on the third commandment, it says, what is required of the third commandment? The third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, his attributes, the ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatsoever else is whereby he makes himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing, by a holy profession, answerable conversation to the glory of God and the good news of ourselves and others. So what are the sins forbidden in the third commandment? Are not using God's name as required, abusing it because we are ignorant of it, using it in a vain or irreverent or profane or superstitious or wicked mentioning or otherwise using his titles, attributes, ordinances, or works by blasphemy, perjury, and all sinful cursings. And it goes in a much longer list. But it is very clear that there are many ways in which we can take the Lord's name in vain. But for us to understand it, perhaps at a language in a way we can understand in the present, I believe the Catechism teaches, as the Word teaches, to take the Lord's name in vain, first, we must be careful not to ever use his name in a vulgar or flippant way. Perhaps this is the way we've understood the third commandment. The vulgar way is obviously using his name or his attributes in a way that would use language which we call cursing. Now, cursing in the Bible is different from the cursing that we understand in modern-day Western English. But the same holds true that if we take the attributes of God or the name of God and tie it to the use of language which we call cursing, is itself a vulgar use of the name, a way of taking the Lord's name in vain. To a lesser degree, we also can find ourselves using his name in a flippant way. One of the ways I learned early on walking with the Lord is the way in which I was using his name in prayer. Even as I was seeking to learn how to pray, I was taught by those who discipled me that it's even possible to flippantly use the name of the Lord if we are carelessly using his name as a comma or a period in our prayers. Emptily using his name in a way as we pray of trying to just fill in the blanks. But we're not really knowing what we're saying. So it's a caution to be careful in how we use the name, even as we pray. So using it in a vulgar or flippant way is certainly what I would call the doorway, the entryway of understanding how we can take the name of the Lord in vain. But more than that, it is also, as we consider this, is of greater importance when we consider that we take the Lord's name in vain when we use the name by trying to use a presumptive authority. What do I mean? Dr. Phil Ryken, president of Wheaton College, wrote this several years ago. A more serious way of breaking the third commandment is by using God's name to advance our own agenda. And some Christians say, the Lord told me to do this. Or worse, they say, the Lord told me to tell you to do this. This is a false prophecy. God has already said whatever he needs to say to us in his word. Of course, there is also an inward leading of the Holy Spirit, but this is only an inward leading, and it should not be misrepresented as an authoritative word from God. Now, I want to use an absurd statement that once was given to me many years ago when I was a church planter. A man who had visited our church felt that he needed to come and tell me a word that was important for me. And that word, he said, the Lord told me to tell you that you need to have more children. Now, that's an absurd statement in and of itself. But it's interesting that this person felt that he had heard some voice from the Lord to tell him, to tell me that we should have more children. I stopped him. I said, with no malice, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're not speaking in the authority or the name of the Lord. And I suggest you go and be quiet for just a little while, because the Lord has not told me that. And he certainly has not told my wife that. But I hear this all the time. Christians will say, well, the Lord told me this. And the question is, how do you know? How do I know? What is an objective standard by which we understand how God communicates to us? We have only one, and that is the word of the Lord. And so we must be very cautious the ways in which we seek to presumptively use God's name and God's speaking or leading to us as if we can then use that to achieve our own agenda. Again, I would consider these ways that when we claim divine authority from our own human plans, or we claim divine authority for our own human decisions, or even our opinions, we violate the third commandment because we are seeking to elevate our own desires by leveraging God's name, which is holy and unique, for authority to boost ourselves. And as Kevin DeYoung says, in doing so, we are manipulating others and we're seeking to manipulate God for our own selfish ends. So we must be careful in assuming that something that we feel so passionately about, claiming that we can then attach God's name to it and then go out and have others hear us as if God is speaking. God has spoken. And he has given us his word. Therefore, we must be very careful that we do not take his name in vain by presumptively using that name for our own agenda, our own decisions, our own opinions. Finally, I would have us consider this morning. The final way I would want us to consider the ways in which we might take the Lord's name in vain, and it is this. It's living the name. So it isn't just using his name in a vulgar or in a flippant way, or even necessarily presuming upon his name because we desire to pump up our own weakness and look for authority for our own agendas. Most importantly, above all, it is living the name. How we live as those who claim the name, who bear the name, carry with us and in our life, in our words, in our decisions, in all that we do, we are bearing the name. This is important because in God's word, in Ezekiel chapter 36, this is what we hear the word of God tell us as God instructs his people in Ezekiel 36. We hear this when he says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. When the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like unclean actions. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood they had shed in the land, for the idols which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name, in that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they had to go out of this land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of the Lord had, house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. This is God speaking through his prophet Ezekiel, saying to his people, the way in which you're living among the nations, your actions, your thoughts, your words and doings, these things are a reflection of my name because you bear my name. More than that, we consider this when Jesus taught as those who would claim him as Lord in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So here Jesus directs his attention to those who would use the name, even to do things in the Lord's name, but whose lives demonstrated not trust and faith in his redemption, in his righteousness, but rather in their actions or their words. They were using the name and yet living in completely different ways. Yes, Lord, Lord, but their lives demonstrated trust in themselves and not trust in him. Consider finally the words of Peter when he writes in his letter of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Here, Peter is writing that the lives we live by bearing the name of Jesus, if you are a believer, matters as we live out into the world. And in so doing, the way in which we live will invite the world either to see the glory, the majesty, the beauty of his character, and they will seek to honor the name of the Lord. Or it may lead them astray to not see him at all. And maybe all they see is our hypocrisy, or they may only see us and our opinions. It's a very humbling reality, is it not? When we see that taking the Lord's name in vain is far more than the way in which we use our words. It covers our actions, our thoughts, our typing. And so it's a wonderful reminder that if we call on the name of Jesus, who is given the name that itself points to his redemptive power on the cross, his redemptive power in his resurrection, his redemptive power that would bring into existence the called out ones, the church, the body of Christ, that the body of Christ, corporately and individually, bear this name, that we go out in our actions, in our words, whether it is into the streets, in the marketplace, or on social media, we bear the name. How do we treat others who are different than us, who believe different than us? And how do we respond to those who disagree with us? Even within the house of God, how do we treat one another when we disagree? Do we treat one another as those who bear the name? Or do we treat one another as enemies? Let us be careful by God's Spirit, guided by his word, enveloped by the power of his name. Remember that as we bear the name, we live the name. And let us move towards one another in humility and honor within the house of God to love one another. And by that love, the world will know that he is true, as he prayed in John 17. More than that, as we go out into the world, we live out that name before the nations. Not for our glory, but for his. Because what is beautiful is Jesus said to even love our enemies. that even the way we respond to those who are our enemies is a declaration of his name. And as a people who would call on his name, let us remember, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us that we might have life. Therefore, as we move out into the world, brother or sister in Christ, neighbor or colleague, or even someone who would consider us an enemy, or someone who you might consider an enemy, how can we bear the name to the glory of his name, to the honor of his name, that we might show forth the love of God in Christ? May the Lord do this today, and may the Holy Spirit tame our tongues, shape our hearts, change our actions, that we, in our living, our doing, our speaking, would honor the name. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this morning. We again thank you for the beauty of this day. Thank you, Father, that we've been able to spend a few moments in your word. I pray that we would be able to relish and rest in the name of the Lord our God, that that would be our hope, our conviction, our strength, our power, and our rest. And out of that rest, in the name of the Lord, that we would go forth in a way that glorifies and honors you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord bless you today. May the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And now receive the charge. Now go into this world as those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love this city, this place, and the world as those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Lord, send us. Have a great day.